that Jesus talks about. But the main one I want to talk about starts with Matthew 13 and verse 10. But I'm going to go to a parable that we are familiar with first. The parable of the sower. Matthew 13, starting with verse number 1. Can I get someone to read that for me? Okay. Go ahead and read down to verse 9, please. Thank you so much. Now, this is the parable of the sower, and Jesus is giving a lesson. We are going to see what we can talk about a little bit about what a parable, and let's put it this way, why Jesus spoke, particularly to the multitude, and parables. This one, as we are familiar with, is the parable of the sower, which Jesus is giving a lesson about the seed and some of the seed that fell on good ground. Some fell in thorns. Some among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked some of the seeds. But that's the way it is with us in teaching people. Or they feel like they don't want to be obey the gospel, or they are in something they should not be in. This is what he's talking about. There are some folks that's not going to accept what God has put in place. Jesus is talking about that. And these parables, this particular parable of the sower, is so interesting because Jesus is giving a lesson, not only to the people, but he's giving it to his disciples so that they can understand. Because the question is going to come up as we're going to go down here in a minute and look at the purpose for the parable. Is going to, and I'm going to get somebody to read that. Start with verse 10 down to verse number 17. And then we'll get somebody to read that. You may read.
Might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
Thank you. There's a lot there in this particular, these particular verses concerning parables. I'm glad that the disciples asked, I don't know which one or all, but most of the time it was one, I don't know who it was, but it doesn't matter. The question came up, and the disciples came and said to him, talking about Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? That's a great question, because many of them did not understand, even though they were with him, they didn't understand why he was teaching and talking about parables. Well, the people wouldn't understand this, and he made it clear, y'all should know. Talking about his disciples, y'all should know why. You're with me. Well, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case at all. They wanted to know why, but it was a great question. And Jesus told them, he said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. Any comment? Anybody got anything to say?
The disciples were with him, and they would see the mystery of God, which really is Jesus Christ come in the flesh.
Yeah.
Dwelled among them, and then went to the cross to die for their sins, and was raised again to newness of life. That was the mystery God gave to the people.
Yeah.
They don't know that yet.
No, they don't.
And neither do the people.
Mm-mm.
But I think it's also kind of like a foreshadowing, because this is just the way I'm thinking about this here. Is because when the apostles going to go out to teach, some of their words will fall on these different grounds, okay?
Deaf ears, right.
And I think we have the problem today, too. At least I did in the beginning. We try to teach people, and they seem to be all ready to go. Did they even go as far as being baptized? But their faith doesn't last very long. So those are those people that's going to fall on soil that means rocky grounds. They have no soil to take root in. And so this gives you he's given these parables to teach. You know, his God's mystery is not going to be received by everybody.
No. All right. Thank you. Lynette?
If you could relate those types of principles to the people's everyday life, things that they need, you know, use storytelling. And that's how a lot of information is today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. The parables And I'm glad that our Lord explained to his disciples why he did it and why he taught in parables. And you look at the one that he did on the sower and why, and the other parables, the parable of the sower and then the parable of the, and why he explained the parable of the sower. We're going to look at that in a minute. It was so important that they understood and that Christ made it simple. He explained it quite well, why he did things. And a question came up in my mind before I got to really reading it. I said, here it is. It said there, and then I highlighted it so that I could know exactly what I wanted to see what he was talking about. And it was quite interesting why Jesus explain the parable to those who did not know anything about the kingdom or anything about the mysteries or any of the things that he was talking about. And he explained it quite well to even his disciples. And he had to talk to them in a language in a way that they could understand it, the common people could understand it. And that's the way Jesus is. He can do things. We read his word, and he can simplify it. He can simplify his word so that we can understand it. And that's what I like about our Lord. That's one of the things I like about him. Any other comments? I want to look at, yeah, go ahead, bro. Yeah.
Which is the same thing, if we can see that today, you know, where some people don't see it because they say, oh, the Bible is outdated, and, you know, that happened back then, it don't happen now. But when you can see the same things that happened then and still happening today, and you realize it's still happening today, that kind of clarifies the picture for you a little bit more. And I think that was a way he used to reach his disciples, get them understand,
and they could
explain to people better too by using that technique.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, our Lord, this Bible is more prevalent now, today, than it ever has been. Everything in it has come to pass so far. The Bible is right. The Bible is right. Whether you believe it or not, it's not going to change. The Bible is still right. And folks are going to always argue the Bible. Oh, that's the way you see it. You know, everybody seems to have their own interpretation of what God's word says and what it means. And we're going to, and I want to thank y'all for your comment, we're going to go and we want to look at the parable of the sower, because Jesus is going to explain it, what he meant. Now, who wants to read it? I'm going to pick on Beverly. You want to read it, darling? Starting with verse 18. Down to verse 23, I'm sorry.
Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then wicked ones comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But
But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Thank you. I think our Lord explained this quite well. And I want to tell you, you can put yourself in any one of those categories and you'll find out exactly where you stand with the Lord and your own faithfulness. Because he certainly explained it. And of course, I want to be one who have always tried to receive it on good ground, so that we can try to encourage others to become a Christian and followers of Christ. That's our intention. And he mentions that, and I find it so, I mean, it's just simple. To me, I mean, you can't get any more. You couldn't explain it any simpler than that. Yes, bro.
We can say that because we have so much more than they did. We have more than the disciples.
Yeah.
We have the whole truth of God's word. We have this church, his church. We have his spirit. We have it all.
Yes, we do.
We have it all. Still didn't understand. Even when he was rising up to heaven, they still didn't have the whole picture until the day of Pentecost, when he would remind them of everything that he had ever taught them and fill in all the blanks. And then they understood. But we have the privilege of knowing it all. We've got it all right here.
Yeah.
I was thinking when he was telling these parables, people were like, some of those people wanted to know. It was killing them, you know, to know. They really wanted to know what this man was talking about.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, this parable was applicable back then, and it will be applicable all the way until the Lord comes again. You're going to find these people. To me, this parable is also, like I said before, an encouragement to the disciples, because they're going to have to do the grunt work, so to speak. And they're going to have people that will follow them. Some will only follow them for a short time. Somebody won't even accept the word at all. So this applies, and it's also an encouragement for the disciples when they go out to teach.
Right.
After the Lord's done, went back up into heaven. They have to lay the grunt work, and these parables should help them, if they remember them, not to be discouraged if some of what they're trying to do doesn't come to fruition, because, like the Lord said, you know, some of your works or some of the works will fall on good ground, some will fall on bad.
Yeah, but we have a responsibility. One of the things, before I say anything, one of the things I found, God didn't leave these men on their own. He said, tarry here. Tarry here. And we will, and I will send you a comforter. I will send you the thing that you need. And they were able to use scripture from the Old Testament, because they didn't have the Bible as we do now. We have the written word. We have the promised word right here. They didn't have that. But God gave them everything they needed. He sent them a comforter. They could quote. They could even speak in other languages. They had the power to lay their hands on people and heal them. Some of them, well, they all had the power where they could put their hands on somebody and they could have the gift, a certain gift. But the person that they give the gift to, they couldn't go back and put their hands on anybody to give them anything. And we know that once the last apostle died, all the miraculous gifts that God had given ceased. And it talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I call it, as we all know, the love chapter. And certainly Paul talks about that. He is one of the greatest apostles. And I say that simply because he wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. You know, that's one reason why. But he was so knowledgeable. And he did these things, I don't want to use the word under duress, no. He did it because he loved the Lord, but also he was in prison. A big part of the time he was in prison. And he was a magnificent individual. And he didn't play with those Christians either that weren't doing what they were supposed to do. He told them what they needed to do in order to have a chance to be saved. I'm talking about not only after baptized, but they were sitting around waiting for the things that, like, for instance, they never knew exactly when Christ was coming back. And they got to the point, some of them, I can't even think of the word I want to use, but they were so busy waiting on him, they got impatient, and they wanted the Lord to come back right away. But that wasn't going to happen. And certainly, we're still waiting on him. But the Lord already told us he's going to come back. He's going to send the Lord back when he wants him to come back. And people have been trying to put a date on it. Ever since I can remember, Jesus is coming back on this date. Well, those dates are long gone, and we're still here.
You know, Ray, you touched on how well the apostles were able to speak in different languages and all of that.
Yeah.
But if you look at the apostles prior to Pentecost, they were fearful. They were discouraged at some point until Jesus had come back into their midst. They didn't know what to do, where to go. You know, they were very fearful. But yet, look how courageous they became.
Oh, yeah. At
Pentecost. They were totally transformed as far as their characters went. They were able to recall everything that happened with their walk with Christ in order to be writing these books so accurately. They were just almost like different people.
And
how they were before and how they were after. And aren't we the same? or we should be,
yeah,
before we were baptized versus how we should be now that we are baptized. We should be just as courageous to speak of the Lord and His Word as the disciples were after they, after Pentecost, after they had received the Holy Spirit. You know, and I think sometimes some of us are still fearful when we go out and need to speak about God and what He has done in our own lives. Fearful because of how we're going to be received, but yet the apostles weren't.
Right.
They were courageous, even like you mentioned, in prison, being beaten, being stoned. They still held true to God. And we need to be the same way today. And that reminds me of Ross's question last Sunday. How much we are really willing to suffer. You know, the disciples did. But would they have done it prior to this? I'm not so sure.
Well, they kind of showed, for example, Peter showed mm-hmm. himself when the young lady confronted him. Aren't you one of those men that were with him? I don't even know the man. Mm-hmm. He got the cursing and swearing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, fear make you do a lot of things when you're scared. Yeah. He was scared that he was going to be either stoned or put on the cross himself. And I'm going to tell you, those Romans, they did not play. Mm-hmm. When it came to execution.
Look how he was changed.
Oh, yeah, he changed. Well, see, Jesus already promised him, I'm going to give you the key to the kingdom. Yeah. I'm going to give you the key to the kingdom. Yeah. The key to the kingdom came in Acts mm-hmm. when he preached mm-hmm. about our Lord and Savior and how they treated him. And you help crucify mm-hmm. you. He's talking about all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we willing to suffer even now? Sometimes I wonder. Because I'm going to tell you, I like to consider myself a faithful Christian. But there are Christians in different parts of the world are still being ridiculed, and some of them are even still losing their lives. And that could easily start happening here in this country. It could happen. Yeah. And
it's not quite painful physical suffering, but it kind of is because it affects you. Well, I mean, it affects your income, you know, it affects your livelihood. I mean, if it is all your livelihood, and then it affects you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. We have to stay in the Word. We have to stay in the Word and build our faith. Because there are those, even some of us, need to stay in the Word even more. I mean, because that's it. I get I get a certain amount of joy and respect for God's word because of what he did and for what he taught. And we need to understand it is not, certainly not going to be easy. But was it easy for God, for Christ? Was it easy for him? No. Many times they wanted to stone the man right there. And those Pharisees and Sadducees, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Christ even called them devils. They wanted to say he was, but that was a lie. We know that. But they did all they could. They did everything they could to get him before he went to the cross. Christ went to the cross because he had a responsibility to his Father to do that. That's why he did it. No one of us in here could have handled the beat that he took with a cat of nine tails, spit on him, slapped him, did everything they could to our Lord. Disrespected him. Had people that lie on him. Have you ever been, in the workplace, have you ever had anybody to tell a lie on you? And like they're going to hold up to it? They're going to own up to it? Most folks that lie, they want to do it in secret. You know, they want to whisper. There's a saying, a person bring a lie, you know. Watch them, bro. Gotta watch them. And the very thing that you were talking about, Sister Lynette, in the workplace, I'm not into this thing about, the Me Too movement. But I am respectful of women. I'm respectful of women. And I think women need to be respectful of themselves. And I don't appreciate any of that things that some of these fellas out here doing. I didn't want to disrespect a woman. Now, this is not necessarily getting off subject, but it's needed. Because we are Christian, and we need to act like it. Men need to be in and stay in their place, and women need to be respectful of themselves. And there are a lot of men out here that's dogs. We know that. But I like to say that we as Christians, we need to be held at a higher standard. We need to be. We don't need to be acting like dogs. No. So, yeah.
We were talking about suffering, and
yeah,
all of us in this room have suffered.
Yeah.
We know each other's stories. We know not all of it, but we know we've all suffered. Suffered those things, and we're not shaking. We're here. We love the Lord.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else for us to go. He is our refuge. And we all know that Satan is good, and Satan is attacking us because we love the Lord. Everybody loves the Lord. Satan, he is doing his best on all of us.
That's his job.
And, you people throw it around, but, you know, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. That's true. He protects
us
from too much. He don't want to lose us. But we are certainly being attacked by Satan. And we've all suffered loss. We've all been betrayed. We've had all that happen because we are followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we persevere. That's a beautiful thing. That's a powerful thing. That's all His power, isn't it?
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with us. It's His power.
Well, as Christians, we shouldn't be surprised to be attacked by Satan. Because he most certainly is not going to follow after those He already owns. He's going to go after us. And we just, you know, need to stand in Christ.
Who are we? Our Lord and Savior, he suffered more than anyone in here. Tempted. The devil tempted him for 40 days. I don't know if he could make it 40 minutes without looking for something to eat. You know what I'm saying? And,
A serious thing, and I've learned this as a young Christian in a Wednesday night Bible study, it is something that we need to do, to talk about, to be prepared for any circumstances. What if somebody held a gun to your head and wanted you to deny Christ? We need to be prepared for all situations. No matter what, we will not deny Christ.
We shouldn't.
We need to talk about that. It needs to be in us.
Right.
You know, it's like a training. I don't care. I'm not going to deny Him. He is my Lord. Because like we're talking about, there are people that are getting killed overseas for Christ.
Right.
It happens.
Sometimes it's easier said than done, even for Christians. But we have to condition ourselves, and I agree.
Yes.
We have to condition our mind to think about that possibility could be very real in our lifetime. It could happen to any one of us. With these people killing now and shooting up folk, they don't care who, and a bullet doesn't care. I mean, people are dying now. Many of them don't know the Lord at all. That's your hand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just like to add that what Brother was saying, what you're saying is very serious, very, very real. But we fail to realize, I think sometimes, that just as bad or just as important that we may deny Christ, and it seems like it's a little thing. And what you were saying, in the way in which you carry yourself, whether you be in a workplace or whether you be in a grocery store, if a person can cause you to act in a manner that is unbecoming of a Christian, then you have denied Christ, you know.
And the devil is the one.
Yes, like you said, he's constantly at us 24/7. Once you get to the point where he causes you to lose your cool, so to speak, or, you know, you do things or say things, even though we had an option to repent, you still have let the devil take control of you for that split second. Not saying that you know, we're not perfect. We can't, you know, we're not going to go through life 24/7 ourselves and not be fazed by things that happen, because we got people in the world that's not Christian, as well as people in the world that call themselves Christian. As we studied about that, you know, they act like they are, but they're not. You know, they say that they are, but they're not. But your actions is what speak the loudest. And when you can get riled or do things that cause you to stumble, then the devil has won that round. And that's what we don't pay too much attention to, I think, sometimes, the fact that, you know, we say, I lost my head. that stuff the devil made to do it, you repent and you ask the Lord for forgiveness. And then sometimes we turn around and do the same thing again, you know. But we don't realize the several ways that the devil attacked us is the ways that hurt us the most.
Yeah.
As far as we're looking at somebody coming in here with a gun, somebody waiting on the outside with you to make you, you know, forget Christ for a split second. I heard my grandma say one time when I was younger, I had to lay my religion down for a minute. You can't do that. You know, I didn't know that then, but you know, if you're a Christian, you can't lay your religion down for a minute. You can't lay it down at all, you know. But people, you know, you think that, you know, you lost around, you know. So
yeah.
That's just as important, I think, you know, to realize that. And brother said we need to condition ourselves to that way of thinking too. That will help you stay more on point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Wesley said, I'm gonna, you know, Satan definitely uses the most subtle of ways sometimes. And I think the easiest way for him to do that is when he involves family members. I mean, how many times have we decided to stay home because a family member visit instead of being here on Sunday mornings? To me, that's the same as denying Christ. And he has taught us that if you put your father or mother or sister or brother or your children before me,
you're not worthy of me.
You're not worthy of me, okay? And I most certainly am guilty of that. I've done that before because somebody visited and I said, okay, I'm going to stay home this Sunday. And it's wrong. It is wrong. But it's he uses what he already knows would be the easiest way to tempt you with. And it'll catch us off guard a lot of times. And before you knew it, you done something that, you know, denied Christ.
Yeah. That can happen. But we need to always be vigilant.
We need to be on guard.
And we need to be thinking about, make sure we do the right thing.
I just like to add, I think that's, like you were saying, that's the good, this is the training. This is what we need to know about and to be on the lookout for little things like that, you know. And because you don't think about it and it don't cross your mind. But if you realize it, then it helps you to look out for things like that. And like you bring it out or saying it, you know, among us, we can realize and each of, you know, can take something from that to learn.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time. I do want to add, it's good to see all of you this morning. I was looking at some of those football games yesterday. And I said, Lord, my goodness, if we could get half of those folk in those stadiums in the church. I mean, people out there acting like a, I don't know what. I call them fanatics. They're going past fame. But anyway, I want to thank all of you this morning for your comments, and thank you for being here. And, thank you for giving me a chance to.
Thank you, man.
All right.